Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our program this morning. Arguably among the worst of all medical afflictions, the dementia slowly destroy one's personality, takes a tremendous emotional, physical, and financial toll on patients and families, and are irreversible and inexorably fatal. The new book, Winter's End: Dementia and Its Life-Shortening Options, by Dr. Lewis Cohen, is constructed around a lengthy and detailed nonfiction account that is layered with the voices of approximately 100 palliative medicine practitioners, legal scholars, bioethicists, social workers, nurses, neurologists, psychiatrists, and other authorities from North America, as well as Europe. Winter's End is intended to spark conversations between clinicians, people affected by dementia, and the general public. Dr. Lewis Cohen is a researcher and psychiatrist in Springfield, Massachusetts, and joins us this morning. Hello, how are you?
Hey, I'm glad to be here.
Very nice to have you with us. You have brought along Jeff Zessinger, who is also a palliative care expert and who works in the hospice at the Fisher House Hospice in Amherst, Massachusetts. And Jeffrey, it's wonderful to have you here as well.
Thank you.
What brought you down this road, Lewis?
Well, this is actually my third book that I have written, and each one of them attempts to make some sense for me and for the readership as to who are the kind of people who make the decision that their life needs to come to an end, that they have reached the point where it's time to pull the plug, if you will, end things.
So what goes into that? How do you describe that? How do you define that of, quote unquote, pulling the plug?
Well, both Dr. Zessinger and I have watched during our careers how medicine has become more accepting of the fact that our chief goal should not only be to prolong people's lives, but also to relieve their suffering and to listen to them when they say that they've had enough.
So if a person is suffering dementia, then how are they able to tell you that they have had enough?
Well, let's start with most of us are having experiences visiting, meeting, taking care of people who have dementias. And a fair number of us are walking out of those rooms saying, I'd rather be dead. Kill me now if that happens to me. So I think that this is something that, if you will, we healthier people are thinking. And when we do now come down with a diagnosis, it then becomes something that some of us, particularly in the early stage, might want to be talking to our physicians about, our families, the medical staff, our friends, and really have it on the table as an option.
Dr. Zessinger, what exactly is legal here?
Well, that's a great question. Legal depends on the state that you're in. There are a few states in the country that allow for medical aid in dying, and then a physician could order the medication that you would take yourself. It would be voluntary, and it's very well regulated. Massachusetts, the next state over from Albany here, has gone back and forth about this, but has not passed that kind of legislation. There are many ways for people to say, I've had enough and I'm going to stop living. The advent of a doctor and a legal system that lets you prescribe those medications is just one way to do that. But there are other ways to do it that are very acceptable and are not scary and are not violent.
And if I could kick in, Joe, throughout this country, we can fill out advance directives instructing the medical staff that are out there that we don't want certain things that might ordinarily prolong our lives. We might not want to be hospitalized. We might not want to continue on some medications that we've been taking at a certain point. We might not want to go to an intensive care unit or to have cardiopulmonary respirations. And the man who I built this book around is someone who had completed an advanced directive, spelling out all those things. But he was also a very healthy guy. And it was unlikely in the next few years, even after his diagnosis of Alzheimer's disease, that he was going to be able to make use of those means to foreshorten things.
Tell us a little bit about this patient and how you came to know him and ultimately the story, because it is it makes up a good part of the book as far as I know this word is overused, but I'm going to call it a journey because it's a hell of a journey.
And Dan Winter was a trailblazing guy. He was a sixth generation Kansan. So his forefathers, foremothers had literally created trails in the wilderness of the Kansas Territory. He had completed, as I said, a healthcare proxy, but he had also witnessed his father die slowly, agonizingly over a 13-year period from Alzheimer's disease, and had come to the conviction that if he ever was diagnosed with the disease, that he was going to take some steps to shorten it.
In that directive, how much – so how is that spelled out of how you shorten it?
Yeah. Well, again, the directive part of it, the document stuff is fairly straightforward. It's all those different kind of things that you're going to not want to have or you're going to want to have. So that part of it is easy. The part that I learned from Dan is the harder part, which is what are your other options that are available? And they could include such things as, in Dan's case, he wrote off that he was going to violently kill himself. Because there are a number of folk who will pick up a gun. That's the most common way to commit suicide if you have a dementing illness. But there are other things that one can do. There are organizations out there composed of volunteers who believe in people's right to die and who will provide information, education, and sometimes emotional support as to various ways that people might, in fact, take some steps to end their lives in a nonviolent fashion.
Jeffrey, I promise I will allow you to speak on this program. Let me just ask one more question of Dr. Cohen, which is when it comes to your research and looking at this, there are many different illnesses that could bring you to this point. What brought you specifically to dementias?
Well, I started writing this book shortly before I retired. Now, I set 70 as the age in which I was going to retire, and it was brought on, the decision was brought on in part because I felt like I was slowing down, that cognitively I was not as quick as I had been. I wasn't as interested in keeping up with my medical advances that were going on around me, So in turn, the idea of, well, I've been writing before about how and why people might end their lives in the event of various illnesses, so maybe I should be thinking about dementia. And like Dan, as I came to discover about him, I'd had a parent who had had a dementing illness, and it left me, as it has many Americans, with the notion that this is the most fearful disease. It used to be cancer that people would focus on. But for me, watching how my own father died was such that I was one of these people who was left convinced that this is not a disease I want to allow to go the whole course. And medicine has unfortunately not reached the point where it's in a position to cure it.
And Jeffrey, for you, obviously working in a hospice setting, so give us a sense of that, and in working with these patients who are just by nature of old age are at the end of their life.
Hospice was a surprise to me. I never thought I'd go into that kind of work. But a friend said, you look like the kind of guy that might do well with this. And I went to one meeting and found it to be supportive. And people were incredibly well connected, and they would go the extra mile to make sure someone was comfortable. It's been in the last few years, though, that I've also found that palliative care, which expands that same kind of support for people that aren't in the last 6 months of life, they need support too. And as I've gone along, I've met people who have said, I really don't want to go on. And the first person that did that with me surprised me, but I was intrigued. And she said, well, I'm going to just stop eating and drinking, and I know I will die. And in the last 20 years, I've met quite a few people that have done that. Particularly at the Fisher Home, we have had a significant number of people that have come through and said, that's what I want to do. I have that control. It's not painful. You have to deal with a dry mouth. But that's the path I want to do.
And give us a sense of the – I have a lot of follow-up questions, but let's start here. What is the role of the family in those decisions?
Super big. Great question, because if you alone want to do something in life, it's very difficult.
Right.
If you have support people, whether they're friends, close friends that come around you and support you, or your family, that's crucial.
It seems to me that this is an issue just by its very nature could be quite divisive within the family unit.
It certainly is. However, the people that I've met in general have for a long time told their family members, if I ever get to this point, and they whatever that point is for them, I don't want to go on. And they've heard it over the years, and in those cases, it tends to go much smoother, and the family is accepting. They've gone from being an outsider to understanding and being an insider in that decision-making.
So in your opinion, in your medical opinion, do patients have enough options when it comes to the decision of ending their life if they feel that that is what they want to do?
I would say no. I came up through the ranks of hospice over the years and felt, well, hospice could solve anybody's problem. We can make anybody comfortable. But over the years, I've noticed there are times where we do our very best and the person is not fully comfortable. And that really grieves everybody in hospice. Most people in hospice over the years have not felt that medical aid in dying, getting a medicine from a doctor to take to end your life quickly, was an ethical or a good thing. But as time has gone on, more and more people do accept that. And I've become a champion that we should have that option.
And I assume you feel similarly.
I do. And let me emphasize something that's important, which is in those states in our country that have passed such laws, they all exclude people who have dementing illnesses. They do not allow them. So Dan Winter, for example, came to know very quickly that even though he was living in Portland, Oregon, which was the first such state to pass a law, that was not one of the options for him. And that, as we were talking about options, an option that was available to him all along and is legal in every state is the stopping eating and drinking that Dr. Zesiger just mentioned a little earlier.
So when it comes to the book, what do you hope people get out of it? I mentioned this in the introduction that you certainly want it to spark conversation between clinicians, also people affected by dementias, and the general public. We're not good about talking about death, are we?
No, we are absolutely not. If you don't mind, I'm going to give you a little quick quote that I put in the book from John LaRue's last essay. He was a writer who wrote in The New Yorker and a number of other things, and he himself had Parkinson's disease, which is one of the types of illnesses that can result in a dementia. And he did receive assisted dying for it. And he wrote, in the service for the dead, the Catholic Church asks God to grant us all eternal rest. There's little fuss about heaven or its glories. No fuss at all about hell, just eternal rest. And after all the words squandered on right and wrong, failure and desire, love and the tragic failure to love, I am ready for eternal rest, even the sound is soothing. And that's consonant with how I feel about these things as well.
The title of the book is Winter's End, which tells us a lot, doesn't it?
Dan Winter was an incredible man who you will get to know. He was an unusual man in his decision. Most people who have dementias will not express the sort of wishes that he did. They will not put into action what he did. He just sort of carved out his own path. He was fully accepting that most people would not go the route that he went. But yeah, he moved me. He touched me.
And for you, Jeffrey, I mean, have you met people like Dan?
Yes, I have. And the big difference with Dan is that you have to act early enough in your dementia where you're still clear in your thinking, and you can cogently talk to your doctor and say, yes, I will be needing help as I end my life. And you got to be willing to give up a little bit of the sweetness of life, which if you end your life, you know, while your dementia is still mild, you have to give up some of that. And we don't have another way to do it. The U.S. doesn't recognize that, gee, when you get demented enough that you really wouldn't want to go on, that somebody else can help you stop eating or someone else could help you die.
With the exception being that in Europe, they do allow people with dementias in a number of countries to go this route. And so it's been, it is an option if you're fortunate enough to go through the process and be able to have the money and be able to have the family to support you to go to Switzerland, for example,
right,
and make use of their laws.
We have about a minute left. Let me just ask the two of you, in the break room of the hospitals or the homes that you work at and work in and have worked in, do most doctors agree with you?
I think they do, but if they were asked to come on your show, they would probably decline. I think it's quiet discussions, particularly when people think, what would I do in that spot? I think most people would say, I'd want to have my own agency. I'd want to be able to say enough's enough.
Yeah, and I think that we all recognize among the vulnerable populations we take care of, the ill, the sick, but especially those who are cognitively impaired. We want to bend over carefully before we take any kind of measures that would be considered controversial. But most physicians, I would tell you, most medical societies are now beginning to adopt neutral positions on this.
The new book is Winter's End, Dementia and Its Life-Shortening Options. Dr. Lewis Cohen is the author. Thanks to you, Dr. Cohen. Also to Dr. Jeffrey Zesiger. I thank you very much for being here. So appreciate you both sharing. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.